I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Smooth jazz singer Mesa knew she had a big voice deep down, even when she was just a girl. So she belted out R&B classics in her basement until she got every note right. But fame didn't come knocking until her senior year in college, when her sultry voice caught the ear of music legend Stevie Wonder. Mesa, a Baltimore native, left home for Hollywood to sing with Stevie. Her voice and name continued to grow into the 1990s, both as a solo act and as a member of the British jazz funk band Incognito. Mesa's back again with a solo record of classics, like she used to sing in her basement. It's called Feel the Fire. She recently spoke with NPR's Tony Cox.
So, Mesa, thank you for coming in. I'm a big fan of yours, actually.
Thank you.
You know, let's start with this. Tell me about your name, Mesa, M-A-Y-S-A. That's so interesting. Where did it come from?
Well, it came from my father. His name was Meso, M-A-Y-S-O, and his father's name was Meso. So they handed it down the line to me.
Does it have a meaning?
Well, I found that when I Googled myself, that Mesa is it means beautiful flowers flowing in the wind or proud, strong.
Oh, well, that's a nice name, and it works. It fits you, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's talk about the new CD, Feel the Fire. You do something that I would have thought that artists would generally try to stay away from or be careful of, and that is covering songs that were big enough hits that the audience already has a connection to them. But not only do you poo-poo that notion, Feel the Fire is completely covered tunes. Why did you do that?
I just love this music so much, and it's such a part of my growth as a child, and it's part of who I am and how I taught myself how to sing. I used all of these songs to teach myself how to sing.
How long did it take to finish this CD? I'll tell you why I'm asking in a minute.
It took me 10 days.
The reason I'm asking is this. You said that when you began recording this CD, you were deeply in love.
Yeah.
But by the end, that love had turned kind of sour.
Yeah.
So what song were you recording when you were feeling loved? Like, was it, what, Happy Feeling, I'm in Love, one of those?
When I first started, we were doing Ain't No Sunshine. But I said that when I first started the CD, which means when I first started choosing the songs.
Oh, I see.
So that's what I meant by that. That was a couple months. So I chose the songs. And when I was choosing the songs, it was more about him and what I was feeling for him. So the songs like I Don't Want to Lose Your Love and all those kind of things, I meant it in a way where, you know, I love you so much, I don't ever want to lose your love kind of thing. But then as it turned out, when we did break up, it kind of turned into something different. Well, I really don't, you know, I want you back kind of thing. It's kind of weird how all those songs were fitting. It tripped me out because I really went to great, you know, lengths to make sure I chose the right kind of tunes for what I was feeling so that somebody else would, you know, maybe they'd be feeling the same way, you know, and they would identify with the record.
Don't take my life.
Wow. So if we pick up this CD and go through the 10 cuts that are on here, we get a sense of what Mesa's love life was like during the time she was going through this project.
It's kind of weird because I went through every song that you hear from Happy Feelings. And then the last song actually was so devastated. Like the last song I did was This Time I'll Be Sweeter. And even though I didn't do anything to break up the relationship, I still, you know, a lot of those lyrics in that song just meant, like, you know, it'll be better next time. And it's turning around to be that way, matter of fact.
That's wild. That's wild.
This time I'll be sweeter. Our love will run deeper.
Listen, you were with the group Incognito and later ventured out on your own. And even though you've, you know, record with them, you still record with them from time to time. Do you miss the group days?
I think because I have my own solo thing going. I mean, I miss the guys, I miss everybody individually, but I like doing the solo thing too. So I'm kind of spoiled. I've been very blessed to do both things.
Listen, let's talk about what I'll call generational music for a minute, okay? This CD looks back into the 70s and 80s, a time, quite frankly, that a lot of today's music listeners don't know about and some don't care about.
Right.
How do you bridge that divide, or do you even try to?
I try to bridge that divide by trying to stay in true to the music, but also putting a few little twists on it to, you know, make it modern. But I think it's really not all the musician's job. I think the parents, if they let the kids hear the music, because I'm telling you, I have 2-year-olds who are scatting. They're doing the scat on I Can't Help It right now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I have my cousin's daughter's doing it, and a friend of mine's daughter's doing it. So I'm thinking about having this kind of contest where I have the kids scat and teach them about music, because that's the whole thing about being an artist and honing your craft. You know, I want people to start doing that, because I think people are tired of this cookie cutter, make this person up in the studio kind of singing. I think they want a real singer to come forth.
Well, you definitely are that.
I hope so.
Now that you've done this homage to some great R&B music of your past, mm-hmm. Let's talk about what you would do today. If you had to pick potential covers from today's music, all right, today's
wow.
music, is there a song or a singer who grabs you?
A singer who grabs me right now is Fantasia.
Really? Why?
Yeah. She's probably one of the most fantastic new singers to come forward, because she's truly a great singer. And it's not about how she looks and how, you know, what kind of gimmick she has. She really can sing.
What's been the response to the CD so far?
Overwhelming. I mean, I've never, you know, we debuted number 30 on the R&B charts, which I've never done before.
Congratulations.
That tripped me out. Yeah, that tripped me out. This has been overwhelming. I don't know if the planets are lining up right or something's going on where everybody's giving me a great response. We're getting a lot of feedback from the media, which is great, which I've always tried to do, because I think, you know, in my career, I think my career has been on this even keel all these years because I haven't really had the media exposure that I thought I kind of deserved. So it seems like it's coming this time. So I'm just opening it, you know, with open arms and welcoming it in.
You talked about your diary on the website. I went and checked it out. You're blogging your way through a diet, aren't you?
Yes.
It says you're trying to lose 92 pounds. Did I read that right?
Yep.
92?
Yeah, it might be too much, but I'm that's my goal right now. I'm doing the Metamorphosis. My next record is called Metamorphosis, and my music is going to change, you know, into something more exotic. And during that transition, I'm making a transition of myself, my physical self. I want to be here. I just turned 40 years old, and I want to be here for a long time, as long as I can.
Changing your body shape and weight, is there any danger of that affecting your voice?
Yes, it can. That's why I'm doing it the slow way, the diet and exercise, very hard way. My voice teacher told me that she thought it'd be dangerous for me to do that. But then again, like singers like Patty Austin, they've done it, and their voices are great.
Yes, she has.
So, you know, I just chose the regular way because I just want to do it this way, and I want to challenge myself in a different way.
And you sing and all while you're walking.
Yes, I am.
Mesa, it's great having you in. Thank you
so
much for coming.
Much.
Good luck, too.
Thank you.
We will be listening.
That was NPR's Tony Cox with smooth jazz singer Mesa. Her new album is called Feel the Fire.